likely to refuse federal funding. Larry Buell, Free Speech Radio News.
As more revelations emerge about the extensive surveillance program in the U.S. run by the National Security Agency, the FBI, and carried out often by private contractors, more attention is falling on the secretive FISA court that oversees requests for information and the role of lawmakers in overseeing the government's spying powers. For more, Mumia Abu-Jamal has this commentary.
Don't worry. Be happy. In the wake of the revelations of intelligence contractor Edward Snowden that the U.S. government reaped billions of Americans' records and noted tens of millions of American cell phone records, apologists for the Patriot Act's draconian snooping programs rushed to defend this governmental intrusion by citing court and congressional approval and oversight. It sounds good, but what does it really mean? The court isn't really a court in a traditional sense. It's not in any courtroom open to the public. It's a secret court with secret judges who sit inside a soundproof room in the U.S. Justice Department. In the book The Shadow Factory by James Bamford, we find judges on this secret tribunal referring to the FISA court, FISA for Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, as a Potemkin court or a fake court that looks like a court but is really something else. As for Congress, it may do some things well, but oversight ain't one of them. L. Fletcher Prouty, an Air Force officer who worked with the Joint Chiefs of Staff on various CIA missions, tells of meeting with a senator to brief him on undercover operations. According to Prouty, the senator told him before the briefing began, "Keep it short. What I don't know about it won't hurt me." In other words, don't tell me. The government says, "It's okay. Don't worry. Be happy." From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
That's it for today's program. The newscast was produced by Catherine Kopp. Headlines editor was Shannon Young. Our Washington, D.C. correspondent, Alice Olstein. Our technical production team at KPFA Berkeley is Rose Katapchi and Janine Etter. Our theme music was composed and produced by Alan Weatherhead. Thanks for listening today in Los Angeles. I'm Dorian Marina.
You're listening to WMPG and W281AC Gorham, Portland. WMPG is on the air thanks to listener donations and generous support from the University of Southern Maine. USM educates Maine's future artists, business people, engineers, healthcare professionals, lawyers, managers, public servants, scientists, and teachers. More information is available at usm.maine.edu.
Blunt wishes to thank all the following partners and sponsors: the AR Gold School at Long Creek Youth Development Center, the Filene Foundation, Terrascope Youth Radio at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Youth Radio from Youth Media International in Oakland, California, and Blunt is also funded in part by a grant from the Maine Arts Commission, an independent state agency funded by the National Endowment for the Arts. The views expressed on Blunt are those of the individual speakers and producers, and not those of the University of Southern Maine or WMPG management. Blunt Youth Radio welcomes opposing views.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
What's your contribution going to be? What problems are you going to solve? What discoveries will you make?
I intend to broadcast from this ship 24 hours a day until the day I die. And then for a couple days after that.
No one's written your destiny for you. You make your own future.
I've always lived for news and weather. Happy to die for them too, especially the weather.
Tonight on Blunt, we will be talking with homeless youth writers from Preble Street Teen Center.
Several teens will be reading their pieces to us, nonfiction, fiction, and poetry.
We will also be hearing a piece by Iris Sangiovanni called Homelessness. It could happen to anyone, even my dad, which was recently aired on MPBN.
My name is Kate Hull.
And I'm Ava Zielinski. This is a call-in show, so be sure to let us know your thoughts on the pieces read tonight.
Call us at 780-4909. Again, that's 780-4909. You're listening to Blunt Youth Radio, a teen radio station that airs every Monday evening on WMPG since 1994.
So in studio today, we have Rebecca and Sarah, who are both teen writers. We also have Lauren Taylor, the caseworker at Preble Street Teen Center. Thanks for coming on, guys. So first, we're going to hear a poem by Rebecca.
Returning frequently to the building blocks of my memories, these spaces and places ring bells and whistles like the rain, as if the combination of the memories and the exact space they took place would somehow bring my friends back. I come here to remember you, and I always think of you when I'm here.
Okay, Rebecca, could you read that one more time, just because I think the first line was cut off a little bit. Thank you.
I find myself returning frequently to the building blocks of my memories. These spaces and places ring bells and whistles like the rain, as if the combination of the memories and the exact space they took place would somehow bring my friends back. I come here to remember you, and I always think of you when I'm here.
Thank you. So, Rebecca, how long have you been writing poetry?
Well, a lot of my writing is just like rants in my journals. Later when I go back and read them, I like find pieces that I guess are considered like poetry or like spoken word, and then I use them as such.
Yeah, that was a pretty powerful piece. It was pretty short, but you had a really strong message in it. It was really interesting to hear. I liked it a lot.
It's about my best friend who just...
Oh, really?
Yeah, she...
Cool.
She just left for the summer, and I really miss her already. And
yeah.
I go to the beach a lot to like think about her.
Yeah.
So,
have you ever shared your work before?
I've read at a couple of open mics around town, but not really.
So. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So, how do you think writing has affected you, or has it like helped you see things differently, or?
Yeah, it's like therapy. I mean, like once you can write it down and like get it out, that it's better, you know, like you feel better once you like get it out, even if it's dumb and you don't want to share with anybody. It's like it's really powerful and really important, I think, to like just let everything go, you know, and so that you can move on.
Thanks for that, Rebecca, and we'll come back to you in a few minutes to hear another poem. Sarah, did you have a piece you wanted to share?
Yep. I've never felt so alone. My safe haven now turned into an unfamiliar place. I'm so irritated with the world behind me. I feel locked in a cage of misery, unwanted, unloved. People I know and love are like strangers. My life is so full of sorrow, full of doubts. Here alone I sit. Does anybody care about me? I speak words of wisdom, knowledge, and truth. Can anybody hear me? I feel like a ghost, transparent like the wind. I feel numb. A place of peace, serenity, is now a crude place. I'm an ant under a magnifying glass in this cruel world. Why doesn't anybody understand me? Loneliness overwhelms me like a dark cloud, hovering, unmoving. Why won't anybody help me? I'm tired of fighting this game called life, yet I live every moment I'm given. My support beams of life have become unearthed, making me vulnerable. Life has become unearthed, making me vulnerable. I fight for love, compassion, and understanding. Yet I'm being pushed aside. Can anybody see me? Here I sit alone. I want a friend. I feel so confused. Life lived in a fog. I reach out for a helping hand, and they just let me fall. My heart aches. How much more suffering can I bear? I want to feel wanted. I want to feel loved. We've been told So many lies, emotions bottled up, ready to explode like a dormant volcano, sitting, waiting for the right moment. You can see me. You feel my wanting. You see my sorrow in my eyes. Why do you just sit there? Where's the compassion? I'm desperate for a solemn soul, one who communicates the same, someone who understands, someone take this feeling away. Please, I beg you. I'm spiraling into insanity, madder than the Mad Hatter. Life so pure like water, now black, thick with poison.
Thank you, Sarah. That was really great. It was also pretty powerful, too. It was a bit longer, so would you consider it a poem or a piece of fiction, or?
It's more like a piece of fiction. I was really, really irritated this day, and I just, like, spit it out on paper. I just needed to get it out.
So was this all written in one sitting?
Yeah.
Okay, wow.
Would you consider it therapeutic, too, to write?
Very.
Yeah, I imagine.
It was a really great piece.
Thank you.
And just so, in case you just tuned in, you're listening to Blunt Youth Radio. This is our homeless youth show where we're listening to some teen writers from the Preble Street Teen Center talk about their pieces and read them to us. We're also here with Lauren Taylor, and she is the caseworker at the Preble Street Teen Center.
Hi.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Lauren, could you tell us a little bit about the mission of the Preble Street Teen Center?
Sure. At the Preble Street Teen Center, we assist in housing, hunger, and poverty for teens. The mission is to provide an accessible, barrier-free service for people experiencing homelessness, mainly people 20 to the ages of 17 or under.
Laura, what has the outcome been of having this writing program available for teens?
The teens come each week and are given a space where they can slow down and work creatively with their peers who share a lot of similar struggles. I'm continually amazed by the voices I hear each week, some new and some who've been coming every week since I started the writing group, and they are continually improving every single week.
Yeah. So how long has the program been going on so far?
The writing program?
Yeah.
It started before I ever started working there. It's something that new caseworkers pick up every time they cycle through. And before I started working at the Preble Street Teen Center, got my BA in creative writing. And it's a fantastic outlet for me and the clients alike.
Yeah. Rebecca, how long have you been in the Preble Street Writing Center, the writing program?
Just like a month, maybe?
It's about a month,
like a month. Not very long.
And so you'd been writing before that, you joined. So,
oh, yeah. I've been writing my whole life.
Yeah. Your poem was just, it was great. It sounds like you were, like, a natural writer, so
thank
I can
you.
Tell. How has being part of the writing program kind of changed you as a writer, if at all?
Well, I really like to work with prompts. Like, I find that doing like writing workshops and working with like just simple prompts, even if I don't write about what the prompt is prompting me to write about, it always like starts a chain reaction, like gives me some kind of inspiration that goes to inspiration and then like becomes something. So I don't know, it's a good stimulation for my writing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
let's see, did you want to read another poem, Rebecca?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, great.
Okay. I'll read a sweet one. I remember you like the summer heat. Golden brown skin and the smell of the ocean. Like the autumn leaves raining down showers of dull red nostalgia. I remember you like the smell of the lilac. Like cloudless blue skies and candlelight. I remember you like the first song I ever wrote. Like the taste of peaches, like the sound of rain. The first winter, I watched snowflakes catch on your lashes. The smell of oak seeped from the wood box, and I wanted to always be there then, with arms full of warm love, enough for the whole world to be pacified. I remember your smile, the one just for me. and I'll never forget it.
That was really beautiful. What inspired you to write this piece? If you'd share.
Actually, it was writing workshop.
It was a writing workshop? Cool.
And, you know, I had a specific person on my mind and just kind of, like, worked into this. I didn't even mean to, like, write anything like this. It just kind of happened, so, yeah.
So, Sarah, did you have a piece of yours that you wanted to share?
Yep. Can I actually, like, tell it back, drop this story?
Yeah, go ahead.
This story, I don't know if people know me, like, but I'm pretty, like, messed up sometimes, and I just really like the story, The Giving Tree, as a little kid. I love that story, and then I was thinking, it took me a couple days to think about it, and I'm like, I'm gonna write a story opposite of The Giving Tree, and I named it The Ungiving Tree. Once upon a time, there was a tree. She wasn't just any ordinary tree. She was an ungiving tree. One day, this little boy climbed her trunk and swung from her branches, and this made the tree angry. She shook with rage, causing the little boy to fall out, breaking his arm. The boy, startled, ran off, not to be seen. 4 years later, the boy returned. He wasn't a boy any longer, but not yet a man. He was upset, had tears pouring like waterfalls down his reddened cheeks. He laid down on the trunk of the tree and told her about his life and how miserable he was and how alone he felt. The ungiving tree, aggravated, said, "Look, kid, I really don't give a damn. I don't like you, don't you get it? I don't want you around me." The boy got up and looked sad and devastated and walked away. 5 years passed and no sign of the boy, until one day he returned. But he looked different. He was a man, and he looked angry. He started to yell at the tree. "Why the hell weren't you ever there for me, you ungrateful tree? All I wanted was somebody to talk to and be there for me. I hate you." The tree was surprised. She didn't know what to say. "I'm gonna kill you," the boy continued. The tree laughed at the boy and said, "Don't make me laugh, you pathetic piece of crap." The boy was furious, looked at her with an evil grimace, and barked, "Oh, you don't think I'm kidding?" The boy reached out behind the ungiving tree's trunk and grabbed a chainsaw, pulled the starter cord, and the chainsaw sprung to life. How about now, you damn tree? You think I'm kidding now?" The tree was now petrified, and she begged. "Please, I'm sorry. It's too late." "You had your chance," the boy interrupted. The boy walked closer to the tree. The teeth of the chainsaw, sharp as knives, pierced the ungiving tree, and the tree was silent. The boy laughed at the tree as it fell with a big thump. The boy smiled and spit on the trunk and walked away. Years later, the boy returned to the same spot where the ungiving tree once stood. He was an old man now. The remains of what used to be the tree no longer existed, just green grass. The old man got to his knees, he dug a small hole in the ground, and he planted a baby tree, smiled, got up, and turned away. 50 years passed, and on one bright sunny day, a boy saw a tree, he climbed its trunk and swung from its branches and ate its apples, and the tree was happy.
Thanks, Sarah.
If you're just tuning in now, we just want to let you know this is a call-in show. We're listening to Preble Street Youth Writers on Blunt Youth Radio. Feel free to call us at 780-4909. Again, that's 780-4909.
So we just heard Sarah, a teen writer from the Preble Street Teen Center, read her piece. Just for a little backdrop, right before we started, Sarah had to go in and cross a lot of the words that can't be said on radio. So it was definitely a powerful piece. So, Sarah, could you talk a little bit about your writing style when you're writing and what emotions did you have when you were writing this piece?
Well, this piece specifically, I was really angry this day. And I was actually sitting in group listening to Eminem. So at the same time, I was trying to write and listening to his songs. And I just, like, whatever was on my mind just fell on the paper. And then I looked at it, and I'm like, okay. It works for me.
So, you were saying, or we were talking to Rebecca earlier about how it's kind of like a therapeutic way to write, and you've been writing for a while. Sarah, how long have you been writing?
I started writing in high school. I wasn't really that good because I was just starting out, but as I started writing, I got into writing, like, short stories And for a while, I started writing a novel, and then I just completely stopped that. And then I just stopped writing until I came to the teen center and heard about the group.
That's really cool. Do you write often?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time?
It's awesome. So it's great that that the teen center, this writing program, gave the opportunity to start writing again. Do you think that happens a lot with the some of the people who do the group with you, with the writing? Is it, do you find it to be a lot of people who have written their whole lives or just new to writing, or?
I can't say, I don't know, but some people are new, some people are old.
So let's see. Rebecca, do you have any more poems that you'd want to read?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I have tons. I have tons.
Sure.
Okay. You sit in that chair as if you're strapped in. Muscles rigid, wrists pressed to metal arms. As if you pushed hard enough, the seat would swallow you up, rescue you from this awkward situation. Not likely. But your heart is working its way up your throat, choking out air and words, nothing left but blood pressure, and if you don't do something soon, there will be no choices left to make. Except now, all your brain can recognize is the thumping in your ears and the pressure on your wrists. And then, familiar fingers grasping, comfort rolls through you like an autumn breeze. You can breathe.
Thank you, Rebecca. Could you talk a little bit about that piece?
This was inspired by a friend of mine who, we were in a large social setting and, someone came in that she was obviously not comfortable with, and, I was sitting across the room from her and I could just see, like, her uncomfortableness in her body language, and she was just, like, holding on to the arms of the chairs and, like, just so stiff, and then a friend of hers walked up behind her and kind of, like, put his hand on her shoulder, and she just, like, melted and relaxed, and it was so cool to, like, see, and I don't know, that's pretty much what inspired that.
That's really awesome. You seem to have a lot of experience reading your work. Is sharing your pieces in your voice part of the therapeutic writing process for you, would you say?
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, partly. It actually takes a lot for me to read in front of people, but I think it's really important in the way that I'm writing to read out loud instead of having other people read it. I think that the way I'm I guess I'm trying to say my voice implies meaning to my words. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, definitely. Your voice really brings out the piece. Yeah.
And you mentioned you did poetry and spoken word.
Yeah, okay. My buddy Miles does an open mic at Meg Perry Center every Thursday, and I started reading there. And I also read a couple of times at an open mic that Rhythmic Cipher, a poetry team in Portland, they do a show every Sunday at Dover Tea, and I've read there, like, twice. I'm, like, actually just starting to, like, read out loud to people, so.
Yeah, I remember I went to a few of the poetry readings when they had them at local Sprouts still, and I could definitely see there was this huge, like, new level that was brought to pieces when they were actually read out loud.
Yeah.
It's like adding a whole new dimension of feelings to the pieces.
Yeah, totally.
So I think it's definitely a really cool thing when you get to hear people reading their pieces out loud.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Do either of you have any advice for young writers who might be wanting to share their work or wanting to start writing? Sarah, do you have any advice for people who want to start writing, what they should do, how they should start?
I don't know how to give advice with that. I mean, just follow what you like. I don't know, follow your heart, like, what you want to write, it would be good. If you think it's good, then it's good. Just, you know, it takes a lot of practice. So, yeah, I don't really know how to give advice like that.
So, earlier you mentioned that you wrote one of your pieces listening to Eminem. What other influences do you think that you draw from, writers or genres or music or movies or anything?
It's more like emotion. It depends. Like, I will write, like, I write more intense pieces when I'm really upset or really angry or just, like, really excited.
Because I know the music that I feel like artists like Eminem have some really strong lyrics, and it's almost like spoken word. I think it's very close to that even. So it seems like that's the kind of emotion that you're talking about. Of course, it's different, but it feels like you're both kind of putting that emotion. So listening to him might kind of inspire you to do that too. So, and
do you have influences like that, emotions?
Well, I kind of want to backtrack. I think that, like, if you have a love of words, you should just write. Like, you don't need to worry about it if it's good or not. If you love words and you have something inside of you, just write it. Just write it. And that, you know, that becomes whatever you want it to be. And everything is an influence, especially music. Music is, like, one of the biggest influences in our society, in the world, honestly. And, like, especially, like, words are words, whether it has a melody behind it or not. So, like, it totally, like, inspiration comes from everywhere. And people that are just starting out that, like, don't know what they're doing, I don't know what I'm doing, you know? I'm just doing it. And that's what they should do, you know? They should just do it. Just do whatever you feel like doing, because that's what's going to make you happy.
That's really good advice, I have to say. What do you hope to accomplish by sharing this piece with others? Did you have a particular goal in mind?
No, not really. At this point, I mean, it's honestly like a... Well, I guess it's like a personal, like, step up for me, because I tend to be introverted and not really share a lot. For a couple of reasons, and I don't know, it's very, you feel very vulnerable when you're mm-hmm. sharing your work, and I think that that it's important to put yourself out there sometimes, because that's inspiration too, you know.
And as you've been sharing more and more, do you find that you're getting less and less vulnerable or more confident about your pieces, or?
I think I'm definitely getting more confident, slowly but surely, but I don't think that the vulnerability will ever go away, because, like, when you're reading something that, like, comes from, like, your heart and soul and, like, is so, like, raw that you just, like, put out there, like, it's always gonna make you slightly uneasy to show people that part of you, you know, because it's intimate.
Definitely. So, Sarah, how about you? What do you think about sharing your pieces? It must be, I mean, I would be pretty...
It's nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
I never, like, Lauren even knows me, like, I do not share with anybody unless it's her, because I've known her long enough to, like, express, like, what I feel like. I'm like, oh, this is not good. And she's like, Sarah, shut up. It's good. Like, it's good. Shut up. And I'm like, okay, Lauren, whatever. Yeah. But, like, not a lot of people know that I write. And they're like, oh my goodness, you're going on a radio show? What are you doing? I'm like, reading my pieces. They're like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, because they're definitely, I mean, they're fantastic pieces, both of you. So it's amazing to me that you haven't shared with, like, because you both seem so natural reading them. I know, Rebecca, you have, but Sarah, you just as, just the words seem like they're just fluently coming. It was a really great piece that you read, and I think, again, reading it, you kind of hear that emotion, and you kind of, it's a different level to it. So, and definitely. Thank you for coming on and reading it, both of you, because it was really great to talk with you.
Thank you for the opportunity, honestly, like, yeah, I appreciate that.
So, let's see. Oh, if you're just tuning in, by the way, you're listening to Blunt Youth Radio, and we're speaking with some teen writers from the Preble Street Teen Center. I'm Ava, and my co-host is Kate. We're speaking with Rebecca and Sarah, teen writers, and we also have Lauren Taylor, caseworker, here in the studio with us. So this is a call-in show. If you have any questions or comments, you can call us at 780-4909. Again, that's 780-4909. And we want to hear what you think, so give us a call. So, Rebecca, do you have any more poems that you want to read to us, perhaps?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Awesome.
All right, I'll do a longer one now. My skin is a bed of salt, where the sea has washed away dried tears. Petals are wilting at my touch as my fingers linger, longing to grace skin for a life that won't cringe from feathers poisoned by, drowned by all that is. Sometimes I forget beauty ever lived here. My roots grow shallow, bark peeling, shredded by the creatures I let dwell in my nooks and crannies, cradle lovingly in my branches. Life is fleeing as the ocean recedes from rock-hard hollows. My skin is a bed of salt. Sometimes I forget beauty ever lived here.
It was really beautiful. I love the imagery in that.
So it looks like we're going to cut to a short break right now. We'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Watch out!
And now, the weather. Tonight, partly cloudy, a chance of showers in the evening, lows in the mid-50s. Southwest winds around 10 miles per hour. In the evening, becoming light and variable. Chance of rain, 50%.
Tuesday, partly sunny in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a chance of showers in the afternoon. Highs in the lower 70s. Light and variable winds becoming southwest around 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. Chance of rain, 30%.
Tuesday night, partly cloudy in the evening, then clearing. Lows in the lower 50s. Light and variable winds.
Wednesday, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-70s. North winds around 10 miles per hour, becoming east in the afternoon.
You're listening to WMPG and W281AC, Gorham, Portland.
Hi, I'm Kate Hull, and I'm here with Ava Zolinski. We're on Blunt. We're talking with writers from the Preble Street Teen Center. On the show tonight, we have Rebecca and Lauren, as well as Lauren Taylor.
We also are talking with Chris Bicknell. He is the Teen Services Coordinator at the Preble Street Teen Center. So, Chris, could you talk a little bit about your role at the Preble Street Teen Center?
Absolutely. I'm responsible for the Teen Center, which is open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and it provides basic services for street-involved youth, so they can come and get three hot meals a day, they can get a change of clothes, use the bathrooms, take a shower, store some of their personal belongings, do their laundry, really getting their basic needs met. And also, while they're there, they can connect with a caseworker to talk about the issues that got them to the street and hopefully search for some resolutions to that. We also run the overnight shelter, the Joe Chrysler Teen Shelter, which is a new shelter we just opened. And that opens at 8 p.m. and closes at 8 a.m. And that provides youth safe place off the street for the overnight, where they can sleep in a really brand new facility for youth.
Chris, could you?
Thank you, Chris. So we have Rebecca, who we were speaking with in the last half of our show. We also have Lauren. Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
So, Lauren, did you have a piece that you wanted to read to us?
Yeah, I've got a few. You want me to read one now?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, this is called Displaced, Misplaced. Falling, crawling, digging deep back into your home, sewing seams of quilted skin and crawling back into your own. Through your veins and vines and roots, through your skin and through your pores, you bury yourself deep inside. You live out here no more. You dig down deeper, deeper until you've reached your core to crawl your way back to the world you don't belong to anymore. That was that one.
Thank you for that. That was great. So, Lauren, what was your inspiration for writing that poem?
I was actually working on a site-specific installation space. I wanted to create a false environment that kind of was a physical metaphor and a replication between, like, I'm just going to get real metaphysical on you, but between, like, my journey of my consciousness into my subconscious realm, like, when you enter your dream and you really go nowhere but inside you, but you go on a journey and you do come out changed and you've gone nowhere specifically but your own space, your own place and time inside your mind, and you come back out of that nowhere, but you come back to a world completely different. And it's just words organized for that feeling.
We want to remind readers, just listeners, in case you're just tuning in, we were talking to Sarah and Rebecca in the first half. We're now talking to Rebecca and Lauren, teen writers from the Preble Street Teen Center, and Lauren just read her poem. So, Lauren, it's definitely, again, like Rebecca, you have kind of like a confidence reading your work. Do you have a lot of experience reading out loud, or?
I guess I have a lot of experience thinking out loud. so I talk a lot, and I usually say my thoughts, so it's not anything scary kind of pushing them out there. I feel the need to over-explain everything, so I don't know, it just comes naturally, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that. How long have you been writing?
Oh, forever.
Forever?
As long as I've been making anything, forever.
So how do you think being part of the writing program at the Teen Center has kind of affected you or changed you?
I've actually been in and out of the Teen Center. It's a great place, going for help. I didn't know that there were these writing things, and today I decided I was going to go for Becca. Becca's my really good friend, and I was like, I want to go for moral support. I'm a member of the Teen Center. I go there sometimes for help, and It's a really wonderful place. I love Reading. I want to go see what this is all about, and it just kind of happened. So I would definitely like to go and participate more in it. I feel like it's something that'd be really beneficial.
Yeah. So we also have Lauren Taylor, caseworker at the Preble Street Teen Center in here. So Lauren, do you see any growth or improvement in the writers involved with this program, and how do you think writing has affected their lives?
There are certain youth who I've seen significant growth in, especially in their self-confidence and sharing with their peers, and with that confidence comes freedom of expression. And I've seen certain youth who didn't write much at all start to write more and more and more, and ask for their notebooks and ask for pens to write when we're just not in writing groups, sitting around doing other things. I've seen a lot of youth really excited to come every week. I don't remember the second part of that question.
Oh, the second part was how do you think it's affected their lives, which you kind of touched on a little bit. Great. So I think what we have is a feature by a Blunt member, Ira San Giovanni, and we mentioned this earlier. This is a piece called Homelessness, It Could Happen to Anyone, Even My Dad, by Iris San Giovanni, and it's about her father's 6 months of homelessness when Iris was 8 years old. This was also featured on MPBN, recently. So let's take a listen to that one. Looks like there's some technical difficulties with that piece. I guess while they sort that out, we can talk a little bit more to our writers who are in studio, Lauren and Rebecca.
Never mind.
Yeah.
I think we're all set now.
Okay.
Back in 2004, my dad was homeless for 6 months, right after he and my mom got divorced. I was around 8 at the time, and my sister was 6. Just recently, I met up with my dad in a park in downtown Portland, and I asked him about his experience and what kinds of people he met when he was homeless.
Well, you meet really all different kinds of people with all different kinds of backgrounds. I met professional people that had either lost their job or they went through a divorce and lost their house. Maybe their landlord just decided to kick them out, or they couldn't pay the rent 1 month because of a health bill or something of that nature. But you meet people of all different races, all different economic backgrounds, social backgrounds. And I found, like, yes, I'm college educated and I have some advantages that other people don't have. Aren't I lucky that I could be just passing through a shelter and that this isn't going to be, you know, a long-term thing for me? And that's part of what motivated me to try to get out of the situation, is because I thought that I could and I wanted to. You know, I had you and your sisters to think about, and that was an incredible motivator.
As all fathers do, my dad imparted a lot of lessons to me. What I didn't realize at the time is that these lessons came from my dad's experience being homeless. He taught me to be grateful for things often taken for granted, like a simple car ride from my parents or a compliment from a friend. Now that I know my dad was homeless, I understand that anyone can be, and that is why I try to treat everyone with respect. So that's what I got out of my dad's experience, and I wanted to know what he learned from it.
What lessons did you learn from this experience?
I think I learned to appreciate, you know, the small gifts in life. Somebody buying you a meal, somebody buying you some coffee, somebody spending time with you. Those are really important things, and I guess it made me a little bit less of a materialist. You know, in that I learned how to live without things for so long that now I can't quite muster the energy to make the money to go buy them. I learned really the simple values of life, the simple joys. Being able to sleep in your own bed with your own door that you can lock if you have to. Being able to take your own shower when you want to and not worry that someone's going to knock on the door and tell you your time's up. Being able to go to the bathroom and not stress out because there's 6 people in line waiting. Being able to have a life that you want to have in the simplest terms. And I pray for people that are homeless that they can get through it and not let it eat them up, because it's tough.
He's sat at home for the past 5 years, so when I asked him how he overcame this obstacle, I was surprised by his response.
So, how did you finally overcome this?
Well, honestly, Iris, it's not over. What I've realized in my life is that I look around and I think I see my life as kind of an illusion. I think a lot of people are not that far from homelessness. And I try to remember that is what I'm trying to say. Is that I don't for 1 minute ever think that it couldn't be me tomorrow. I try to keep it real. And for me, the way our society is now, a lot of people are going belly up. I mean, their personal finances are just not in order. People are living way out of their means. So as far as I would, urge people to just reconsider how you think about street people and people that are homeless, because we're all one or two bad happenings away from being homeless.
From Blunt Youth Radio, I'm Iris Sangiovanni.
And that was a piece by, again, Iris Sangiovanni. She's a Blunt member. That piece has been played a lot, and there's a reason. It's a really great piece. Again, it was featured on MPBN, which is huge, and congratulations to Iris. So, Kate, do you have any thoughts on that piece?
I just personally think it's very eye-opening. I think not a lot of people understand homelessness, and I think that piece kind of gives insight into what it's like, and basically.
So, I guess we're talking about kind of homelessness, but we're also talking to people who have been writing and been talking about this. Iris is obviously coming from a nonfiction stance, but we have Lauren and Rebecca here who are reading powerful pieces about a bunch of subjects, and you guys have some really emotional kinds of poetry that you've been reading. So I was going to ask, Lauren, would you say that you write strictly poetry, or do you write other types of things?
I kind of write rhythmic thought, I'm going to say. It's like putting, well, with any, like, structured creative process, it's like putting formal expression forth. Like, I'm giving an outline and I'm giving a guideline, like you would in a painting when you put a wash underneath, you know what I mean? Like, you're outlining something, you don't know what's going to fluently come out after you mix the colors and you have them in your hands. You don't have the idea of what the brush strokes are really going to be like if you're truly putting forth energy into it. And I feel that in my writing, it's a very similar creative process. I don't just strictly write poetry. I write a lot of song, a lot of melody, more melody than, like, spoken word, actually.
And earlier when we were talking to Rebecca about kind of reading your poetry versus writing it and how reading it can kind of change it or can add this new dimension, what do you think about that? What do you think about the difference between
I entirely agree with Becca, entirely. My voice is just as important as my hand. You know what I mean? The action that I put forth is mine. It's my projection of my perception of something, and it's mine, and I'm giving it to you, and you can have it when I give it to you, but it's open for interpretation, but it's not really yours to decide. So I feel like my voice, my angle, my understanding can only be expressed fluently in, like, vocal expression.
Lauren, I noticed you mentioned you like painting and, like, rhythmic. Where do you draw your inspiration from? Is it from a particular source, or is it, like, all over?
Oh, I totally draw it from life. No, I'm a painting major at the Maine College of Art, getting by. We both are, actually, best friends. So my inspiration comes a lot from understanding that when there's formality and structure to an expression, it can be more fluently processed. It can be more fluently understood. And to not set myself limits, but guidelines, and even like in automatic writing or automatism, like, you're throwing yourself in something fluently, but to go forth and, like, rhythmically or melodically give it structure kind of gives it identity. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's in the same type of creative process you would do visually, aesthetically, but I guess relationally
a different type of sensory perception.
So, Rebecca,
if that made sense.
Yeah,
definitely.
Rebecca, are you also you're both painting majors?
Yeah,
Rebecca.
Yeah.
So, Rebecca, would you say that what's the difference and what's the similarity expressing yourself in terms of painting or writing? And is there, I know it's a tricky question. You can think about it, but is there? Do you think there's a similarity between the two?
Well, yes, I do. I'm actually. One of the things I'm working on in my paintings right now is the ability to combined words like text with imagery so that it's cohesive, like instead of distracting, you know, because I do a lot of writing and I do a lot of painting. And the inspiration definitely comes from the same sources. It's the same like kind of language, just a different like dialogue, I guess, you know. But it's really something I'm trying to work on to like try and really get the juxtaposition of those together to like really work, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard.
Lauren, do you have any opinions on kind of the differences, the similarities between the two?
I mean, definitely like. I guess think of the words that you're choosing to express what you feel as, like, the colors you're mixing on your palette, whereas the line weight would kind of be, like, I would go as far as to say, like, similar to the melody. It's so similar, or the rhythm that you're using is so much similar. It's so similar to the line weight that you have when you're painting. Colors are more like words. They have, like, emotion and identity attached to them. Rhythm is like line in the way you organize them, but... That's very similar, I think.
You're definitely a poet.
Yes.
So, and thank you for talking about that. I had no idea you guys are both painting majors. That kind of, that's really interesting. You both, they're such creative people.
It's really cool, yeah.
Oh, we're cool.
So, on your experiences, you both seem to have such creative outlooks on your experiences and on life. Do you think you've always thought this way, or is this something you've developed?
I've definitely always thought this way for sure, but in, like, going further and pursuing an education and understanding how to put forth those ways in a way that I can communicate has definitely helped me broaden my expanse, you know? Like, it's definitely helped me understand that there are no limits to, like, my creative process whatsoever, and it is in how I choose to pursue that. But, yeah. Jack with that.
So, Rebecca, so you obviously are a creative person, and I guess the same question, but phrased a little differently. How do you think this affects your life in general? I mean, your outlook is creative, but how do you think producing these works, paintings and poetry, kind of adds to your personality or your character?
I don't think that it adds to my personality and character. I think that it is my personality and character. And it's like making, like writing poetry or music or painting is like all an outlet, you know? It's how to like really get that like pent up emotion, whether it's positive or negative, like out so it can be processed, you know? So, like it's, yeah, and I'm archiving my emotions. Gail would love that.
Gail's fan.
Yeah. yeah, so it's like, I mean, it's back to like the therapeutic thing. It's like, it's very, you know, therapeutic, and I think that my work is me, you know, and not my work is creating me, you know? Like it's.
So, Lauren, would you like to read another piece?
Okay, I'll just flip to the next page. I was talking about melody earlier as, like, line weight, the way that I organize my words, and I think in this one the expression is more held in the pitch, so if it's okay, I'm just gonna
sing it.
Not an instrument.
Yeah.
Just a little acapella, I guess. Yeah, this one is called, The Serpent and Its Prey. Here I go. I couldn't catch you.
You caught me first. Wouldn't dare let you recite my verse. You crawl, you slither through cracks inside my mind. You're my own serpent. You twist, constrict, you wind around my neck. Your venom in my veins. You paste my name now. Constricted my name. You'll suffocate me, swallowing me whole. But I'll chew my way from inside out. I'll sew you back up. Tiny pins and thread. After busting back, through seams you'll be dead. I'll pull your teeth, snake, your fangs and every bone. I'll separate your scales. 15,000 near deaths and lies torn apart alone. Here's some more love. Just try and take my name. Your blood's still warm, love. Trick and play your game. Immune to you, love. Your venom in my veins. Little serpent. Leviathan puts you to shame. You little serpent, this monster will take your name. Serpent, Leviathan's game. Yeah, that was that one. I mean, well, it may have been a little weird without.
No, that whatever. Was great. That was amazing.
That was really cool.
It's almost as if you're a songwriter. Would you say that your poems all have that kind of rhythmic part to them?
Definitely, yeah.
So when you were writing this, was it kind of in your head as a kind of like a melodic song? Rather?
Yeah, I actually wrote this the other morning, yesterday morning. Oh, what a morning. Well, yeah, I got an emotion. I got some news, and it was really great and all, you know. It was awesome for them. But, so I got this emotion, you know, it kind of turns into maybe like a color or something, and then triggers like a melody, a memory of a melody, something similar to it that kind of relates the same feeling, and I don't know, I guess in terms of relational aesthetic, and it comes out melody, and it's like the words have to go with it, yeah, the words have to go with the melody for them to really like honestly capture the feeling.
Makes sense.
So what comes first, do you think, the melody or the words?
When I'm feeling very passionate and strong and into something, the melody comes. The melody comes first and the words follow, but they follow fluently. They don't trail, you know, they don't trail behind. They follow fluently. They're honest. When I try to write, when I'm like, I haven't written in like 3 days, I'm going to sit down and write something. And like, yes, of course, emotions are raw, but it doesn't mean that they are currently, like, flowing. They could be, like, pretty stagnant or something. And that's, like, forcing it. So no melody ever comes with them. Just more, I don't know, more words.
Yeah. So we only have a couple questions, a couple minutes left. Rebecca, did you have another piece that you wanted to read? Or?
Yeah, I have a short one that I could read real quick. Okay. You blossomed before me, and like with any flower, I watched as your beautiful petals dropped onto my hardwood floor. Never before have I seen such a sight. Your eyes glow before me on this night as I realize the first memory I will have of this place is as equally sad as it is beautiful.
Thank you.
That was really beautiful.
So, Rebecca, would you say that most of your poems are tend to be shorter, or do you think that you've written like a wide range of lengths and styles?
It's more of like a wide range. I even have like one-liners, you know, or like ones that are like 3 pages long. And like I was saying before, I tend to like just rant into like my journal and then like find what you would call a poem, you know, within what I've like ranted, you know. When I'm writing, it kind of just comes out like that. And I don't edit that much. Like, and when I do, it's usually crossing out a word and like writing a more appropriate word for that feeling or moment, you know, like in between the other words, you know. So it's a very interesting process.
Well, thank you so much. It seems like time's just about up for us tonight.
If you have one more question, I think we have a minute.
All right, cool. I'll ask another question then. Does length, it like you're talking about emotions and ranting, if you are feeling a certain emotion or you have more anger, do your pieces tend to be longer, or does it make a difference, or
it varies.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes one sentence is all you need, or mm-hmm. or you know, very short. It's honestly about like however many words you need to sum up how you're feeling or that thought or that emotion, you know. It doesn't structure is important, but it's not that important to me, for my writing process.
All right, cool. So I guess I'll say thanks. I guess we're wrapping up. So tonight on the show we had Rebecca, Lauren, Chris Bicknell, Lauren Taylor. Thank you so much for being on the show.
And also thanks to Sarah. She read in the first half. Mm-hmm. And our engineers, Jules Bernard, Leo Hilton, Anthony Lewis, a big thanks to you guys. And thank you to you guys from the Preble Street Teen Center for coming in and talking with us. It was really great to hear your stories. So up next is some jazz.
Thank you for listening to Blunt.